Pray with me if you will. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I bet you knew that formula, very familiar prayer, comes from Psalm 19. I can't say that I did, but I do now. It is sometimes called the preacher's prayer. You've heard Thomas pray those words many times before he preaches, and I can promise you that all of us who preach get to it sooner or later before we step into the pulpit. That the words of my mouth be acceptable, pleasing. It feels like a heavy responsibility for me as a preacher. Responsibility to God, responsibility to the church, which grants authorization for preachers. Responsibility to my family's preaching legacy. My responsibility is to you, this congregation, to this congregation's preaching legacy, and always a responsibility to the children that we hope will hear a word that is life enriching and sustaining. Walt Brueggemann once said, "Preaching is a fearsome task. I'll never forget it. It is also a humbling task. Preaching is also wondrous, fulfilling, strengthening, emboldening." I could add a lot of other words, but I don't think I have the words. And yet the question, what is acceptable, what is pleasing to preach, is always a question and a serious one. How can we hope to find acceptable words and meditations of the heart for this congregation? How am I supposed to do that? Every week I wonder. Do I dare to do this again? What if I never find that word for them? Well, I find the answer to that question, do I dare, was suggested by the preacher at a funeral I attended last week. His answer was, we can rely on the resources of the faith. He said, I rely on the resources of faith, and then he threw his head back and started to sing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to say, thus saith the Lord, oh, for grace to trust him more. The resources of the faith. The preacher's prayer that closes Psalm 19 is just such a resource, as are the opening verses of that psalm, the first six, in which the heavens are telling the glory of God. By the way, this is my heavens are telling stole that was given, made for me and given to me by Jen. These are the heavens, and these are those trees outside the window. Ginny Farrell made it for me, and her friendship is another resource of the faith. The heavens are telling the glory of God. No speech, no words. But the voice is heard. As one writer put it, it is poetic truth, working through metaphor to express the glory of God. The works of a loving God, the hand of the Creator. Sometimes I think poetry is the only acceptable expression. The Psalter itself is a resource. The Psalter, that is the 150 Psalms in what we call the Book of Psalms, is a resource of the faith that comes to us from ancient times, because apparently they needed resources too. They needed resources just like we do, and as we say in our communion liturgy, the whole universe speaks of your glory, O God, Most High. Still another resource of the faith. Our faith has resources for life with God, for life with our neighbors, for the inner lives we hope to cultivate. Our faith has resources for life with God in every circumstance. We've got resources to get us through sermons of a Sunday morning, through funerals, and even to get us through early mornings on the golf course, which, as some of you know, some of the most beautiful spots in God's creation. Or, as James made clear to us the other day, to get us through just another day that the Lord has kept me. Kept me from all evil. And my mind is stayed on Him. We've got Psalm 19. We've certainly got that. We've got Psalm 15 that we've been singing about for the last few weeks. What is acceptable, Thomas? Being kind to everyone. Okay? We got resources. We've got the witness of Scripture. Sometimes we don't like what it says, but that's okay. The argument with it is a resource for the faith. We've got prayers. We've got songs. And we've got the saints of God, living and dead. And we sing that in another hymn that's a favorite in this church. God, help me to be one too. And we have life together with God and our neighbors and with each other. We've got resources. I have a story about the resources of the faith. My family did a lot of camping when we were growing up. We camped religiously, you might say. I was nearly born in camp. My parents were the directors of a church camp, and towards the end of August to early September, they decided better go home. I was born at the end of September. We camped in California, where we had lots and lots of state parks and national parks, but our favorite was Yosemite National Park. It was, if any of you have seen it or even seen pictures, it's extraordinary, and it was a short drive from home. We camped, actually, in camps all over the country every summer until I was 15. Somewhere around the time I was 9 or 10 years old, we were hiking down from one of the magnificent sites in Yosemite. When I told this story before, I used to say it was Half Dome, but that's much too strenuous. It was probably Bridal Veil Falls or something easy for the parents and the children. The six of us were hiking down in a line. My father, my mother, my two brothers, my sister, who was sitting in the back, and I was the last in line. I was the last in line. Down we went, one after, one behind the other. You don't go straight down a hill like that, right? You zigzag. I think it's called a switchback. My husband said it's called a switchback. Anyway, down we went, switching back and forth, back and forth. And all the time, I'm looking at my feet, trying to make sure my feet are in a good spot so I don't fall down this mountain, right? Those were acceptable steps. I was trying to make sure that they got me home. I'm looking at my feet, and I'm looking at the back of my sister's kids, right? Down we go, down, down, switching back and forth. And then we stopped. And I looked up. The sky was endless. And a blue that you never see. It went on forever. Not a cloud anywhere, because in California, it never rains. On the other side of the valley, the mountains. As high as we were, even higher, in every shade of purple, of blue, standing there in all their majesty. And below, in the valley that I think that's the Merced River, cut through that land, the trees on either side form this deep green line, as far as I could see, in any direction. It was breathtaking. And there I was, little me, caught up in all that magnificence. I was dumbstruck. Until I started singing. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. By then the whole family's singing, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. As you know, that's the second verse of that hymn. I knew all of them. I had memorized them ever since I heard George Beverly Shea sing them with the Billy Graham Crusade. Some of you know that. Back in the day, I loved that song. My mother played it at home. We sang it at home. How can we hope that our words, our works, our prayers, even our songs can be acceptable or adequate to the ups and downs, all the joys and celebrations, to the dangers, toils and snares of our lives? How? Well, thanks be to God, we've got resources. We've got resources to speak and to live and to sing. We don't always like the resources we've got, but even the struggle with them is a resource that keeps us on the way to acceptable and pleasing to our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. When I remember that, it is very, very good news. Amen.